Why do we pack up our lives into cardboard boxes every few years, convinced that happiness lives in a different area code? Americans relocate more than almost any other nation on Earth, 36 million of us each year, the equivalent of emptying the country's 25 largest cities. We chase job offers, affordable housing, better schools, but increasingly, we're hunting something less tangible, a place that feels right. Two-thirds of college-educated millennials now choose their city first, then find work there. Some take this quest to extremes. One couple drove 61,592 miles through 48 states before settling down. Another man created a spreadsheet comparing 38 cities. We obsess over best places to live lists, scroll through city data forums where 22 million monthly visitors debate the merits of Portland versus Pittsburgh, and harbor a nagging suspicion that somewhere out there exists a place that will finally make us happy. Yet, here's the uncomfortable truth. Moving does offer a psychological reset button, a chance to shed old patterns, but it also creates a cycle of perpetual dissatisfaction, a geographic restlessness that whispers, maybe the next place will be better. After six relocations, facing the familiar itch to leave Blacksburg, Virginia, a radical question emerged. What if the problem isn't the place? What if a town becomes right, not because it's perfect, but because we choose to love it? Philosopher Simone Weil called it perhaps the most important and least recognized need of the human soul, the bond between humans and place. Researchers call it place attachment, that familial connection measured through belonging, familiarity, and loyalty. People with strong place attachment are more social, volunteer more, experience less anxiety, suffer fewer heart attacks, and report greater well-being. Their communities even prosper economically. The key? Place attachment isn't about living somewhere objectively perfect. It's about person-environment fit, that intangible sense of being home. Conventional wisdom suggests this connection takes 3 to 5 years to develop, but you can accelerate it through deliberate action. After interviewing urban planners, community experts, and over 100 residents, a pattern emerged. 10 specific behaviors build place attachment: walking more, buying local, knowing neighbors, exploring nature, volunteering, eating local food, engaging politically, creating something new, and staying loyal through hard times. These aren't grand gestures, but small daily choices. The revelation? Emotion follows behavior. If you want to love your town, act like someone who loves their town. Riding a bike is fun. That simple explanation captures why one woman chose pedaling over driving, transforming errands into adventures. By 2013, 60% of homebuyers wanted walkable neighborhoods, prompting cities to invest in pedestrian infrastructure. Walking builds accurate mental maps. Daily walks reveal details invisible from cars: breakfast smells, plastic flamingos, how streets connect. At 3.5 miles per hour, you notice conversations, birdsong, swaying grass. Each memory anchors itself to your internal map of home. Commuting destroys happiness. Swiss economists found a one-hour commute each way requires 40% more income to maintain equal life satisfaction. Switching from car to walking increases happiness as much as falling in love. Mobility costs communities. Big box retailers return 14% of revenue locally. Independent stores return 52%. Local owners live, spend, and pay taxes where they work. Consider Leonard Fitch, 72, who owned Wilmore, Kentucky's only grocery store. Despite prices 40% higher than Walmart, he served on city council, led funerals, secretly delivered groceries to widows. Though unprofitable since 1996, he and his wife invested $700,000 keeping it open. When residents renovated the store and launched Buy Local campaigns, they embraced neighborly economics, sacrificing convenience to preserve community institutions. Modern Americans spend 30% less time with neighbors than 14 years earlier, and 28% now know none by name. Neighborly has shifted from active engagement, homemade cakes, childcare help, bowling league invitations, to respectful distance. Yet neighborhood cohesion offers remarkable benefits. Those who trust neighbors are 67% less likely to suffer heart attacks and 48% less likely to have strokes. Stress, depression, and anxiety decrease in tight-knit neighborhoods, while physical health improves, even mitigating poverty's effects. In Detroit's economically disadvantaged neighborhoods, block clubs board up vacant houses, plant gardens, and organize events. When Belva Davis faced foreclosure, neighbors rallied with protests that saved her home. This collective efficacy, neighbors working together, reduces violence, depression, and drug use while strengthening place attachment. Simple acts create meaningful connections. Inviting Sri Lankan neighbors for dinner revealed rich backgrounds previously unknown despite living next door. The evening transformed strangers into friends who eagerly agreed to watch children, proving that relationships are the foundation of feeling at home. Sierra Vista, Arizona residents call it beautiful, yet claimed there's nothing to do, despite mountain views, stargazing skies, and a wave pool facility. This paradox reveals that place attachment depends on recognizing your town's charms, while familiarity breeds blindness to real advantages. The Soul of the Community study found social offerings, aesthetics, and openness mattered most for attachment, not schools or housing. Cities with emotionally attached residents showed GDP growth of 6.9% versus 0.3% in less attached communities. Crucially, the study measured perception, not reality. Grand Forks, North Dakota, tied for highest attachment despite fewer amenities than major cities. Residents rated their social offerings higher than Boulder, Miami, or Philadelphia. Growing up near Disneyland and living in Austin made Blacksburg feel sparse. Panic over entertaining visitors led to discouraging their trips. There's not a lot to do here. This insecurity revealed a mistake. Rejecting activities that don't match existing interests limits possibilities and damages attachment. Though initially resistant to football culture, visiting Lane Stadium showed how sports fandom mirrors place attachment. Intense loyalty, group identity, and a sense of ownership that binds people to place. Outside Magazine's Best Town Ever winners share easy access to nature. Research confirms nature exposure boosts immunity, lowers blood glucose, improves cognition, and reduces depression. Hospital patients with tree views recover faster than those facing brick walls. Green neighborhoods show stronger community bonds and lower crime rates. This connection between place love and environmental activism stems from solastalgia, the distress felt when beloved places face environmental threat. As Naomi Klein observes, I don't think you can love a whole planet. What's driving the most powerful resistance movements is love of particular places. Marine biologist Wallace Nichols calls it blue mind, the meditative state water creates. Research confirms people experience significant happiness boosts near water, the largest effect of any natural environment. The Scenic 7 Challenge, visiting 7 local natural attractions, transformed relationships with Blacksburg's environment. Hiking with fellow transplants, watching children delight in being outdoors, created shared memories. Later mishaps on the Blue Ridge Parkway, potty emergencies, getting lost, walking through cow pastures, became favorite stories. As one professor explained, when you enjoy activities with significant others, the meanings you attach to those relationships often become embedded in the place. After the 2007 Virginia Tech shooting, would Blacksburg's capacity for happiness survive? Cities face two threats: shocks, acute disasters, and stresses, chronic decline. While shocks devastate, stresses kill cities. Witness Detroit's collapse from America's highest per capita income in 1950 to near extinction by 2000. Social connection is the most effective disaster protection. After Japan's 2011 tsunami, towns with stronger bonds had dramatically lower death rates, not from seawalls, but because neighbors knew who needed help and risked themselves to provide it. This Mr. Rogers approach proved equally effective after Superstorm Sandy, where connected neighborhoods recovered fastest. Paradoxically, disasters strengthen communities. After Sandy, over a third of residents reported meeting new neighbors and feeling closer to their community, especially in hardest-hit areas. Residents stay because of place attachment. It's home. True resilience comes from community connections, not government aid. Blacksburg's annual 3.2-mile Run in Remembrance revealed both solemn remembrance and surprising joy. Learning the town's painful history deepened attachment to it. Home isn't found, it's made. Every town becomes someone's perfect place because they chose to see it that way, know their neighbors' names, and stay through hard times. The question isn't whether your town is good enough, it's whether you're willing to drop pins of happy memories and choose to belong.